Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurant in Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com. And now you can download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis. How are you?
Disgusted with myself.
Okay. Funny. I'm disgusted with you, too. I'll bet it's for a whole different reason, though.
No. We had on the show recently the Philadelphia Inquirer's. We started to do the first segment on the 20 picks for 2006, spotting food trends going forward.
Yes.
We're such blabbermouths, we spent 9 minutes talking about one food trend.
So there are 19 more food trends. We can do this for the next month and a half.
We do until 2007.
Yeah, we talk a lot.
Okay.
It's why we have a radio show, though, because of our ability to blather.
The number one food trend spotted by Marilyn Martyr of the Philadelphia Inquirer was contemporary comfort foods. Don't start talking about it.
We can't talk about that anymore.
We went down that road and we didn't get to leave it last time. The next topic...
Can I tell you what's funny about that?
What?
It wasn't even on my list of things to talk about. I was going to skip that one and move to the next one.
Blabber, blabber, blabber. All right, well, contemporary comfort foods, they talked about how people want simpler but better quality foods, and I think that's pretty amazing. But I want to quibble just a little bit. There is, on the very high end, I mean, Ferran Adria and there are people, Wiley Dufresne's in New York at WD50, Ferran Adria in Spain at Il Bulli. They're on the very high end, the best chef, some of the best chefs, there is a movement to be very experimental and go outside the box. But I think that people are reacting differently on a local level and you know, you can only eat that once in a while. You want real food.
And I can tell you that I personally, I'm moving back towards comfort foods. Anyway, stop talking about this. Move to number two.
Number two is small gets bigger. People are looking more and more. This small plates
thing. Small gets bigger. I think that happened with both of us, right?
Yeah, my God. Small plates. The idea of tapas, mezze, if you're talking about Middle Eastern cuisine.
I think you're definitely seeing that. I mean, there's a place in D.C. called Haleo, which is a tapas place that's been there for about 4 or 5 years now.
A topless place?
Stop it. Tapas. Tapas. Although a topless tapas place.
I know.
Now that
tapas
would be hot.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just sorry. I'm going the wrong way. But the whole small plates thing, and that's what tapas is. It's a bunch of small plates for dinner. But I think you're also seeing that manifest itself in some of the great restaurants. You're seeing the 9-course tasting menu, the 20-course tasting menu, the 14-course tasting menu. And what is that really? It's small plates. It's a bunch of small plates.
Yeah, but I think what they're talking about here is the ability to sort of go and graze and visit a number of different spaces. I think this move is always going to be more, you're going to see it more in large cities. Because if you're in Manhattan, or if you're in Brooklyn, or if you're in Washington, D.C., the idea of stopping and having 3 or 4 different plates here and then maybe going someplace else and having 3 or 4 plates there. Or if you don't want to eat so much. And I think, you know, part of it is we don't want to eat a big, heavy meal in the beginning of our evening because that, you know, I'm getting older now. I eat a big, heavy meal. I'm asleep. Mm-hmm. but, you know, we see it less in Jersey, but you're seeing it somewhat in Jersey. I think that people are going to be challenged in New Jersey if you're not in a city.
Right. I think you see it in the cities in New Jersey. You see that kind of movement where at least on bar menus and things like that, you're seeing
bar menus. By the way, bar menus very important. If you look at, I mean, we have a bar menu at Stage Left that we've had for years, but in the new restaurant that we opened, Catherine Lombardi, there's an antipasto bar that we keep open until 1 o'clock in the morning, where we serve cocktails and wine. And we have the prosciutto slicer, and we make fresh mozzarella all night long and make small plates of appetizers that are available all night.
Right. But you're seeing other restaurants even in New Brunswick, and we'll use New Brunswick as an example just because it's a walking town that our restaurants are in. You see places like the Frog and the Peach that have a separate bar menu from the rest of its menu. Restaurant Clyde's is around the corner from us, has a separate bar menu from its
menu. Well, you can go in, and you don't have to commit to a whole meal. You can meet your friends, and you can either eat lightly or go from the Frog and the Peach to Clyde's, to our place. Right.
But at the same time, I think that one of the things that the article is talking about is there are places that are opening up that's what they're all that's their whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think you're not going to find that in the suburbs. You're not even going to find that in the Jersey cities, because in Manhattan, there's such a volume of people coming through. You need to serve a lot of people to make that happen, and I don't think you'll see that in Jersey.
Well, you're seeing them in Paris. The people who own the Perryville open on a place called the Colonial, and they've done exactly that, done the small plates thing. I think it's harder the farther you get from
I think it's great.
Center City.
I think it's great, and I think you should go there. Let's see if they're successful or not. And I'm not wishing them any ill will, and I do think you should
go
there.
I'm wishing them goodwill.
But who's going to drive that far to have some small plates? You know what I mean? But maybe enough people in the local area. Who knows? We don't.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about some other places in Jersey. That Restaurant Nicholas is opening a bar very soon. Now, that's one of the best restaurants in New Jersey.
I actually saw the new bar last night. It looks great.
Yeah, so that's going to be opening soon,
great
right?
Great new room, yeah. It should be within a few weeks.
They're going to serve smaller plates there and lighter fare, and that's in central New Jersey. And he is one of the best chefs in Jersey, unquestionably, and a great guy.
I think that what happens with a lot of these places that we're talking about right now, and again, I think it's a little different than the food trend they're talking about, where there are restaurants focusing on small plates, is you're seeing a lot of places trending towards, you know what, come to my main restaurant once a week, come to my main restaurant once every other week, and maybe come and have smaller fare a couple of nights a week when you get home late after work and it's 7 o'clock and you don't feel like cooking, you just want to run out for 45 minutes or an hour and grab some small plates.
No, but I also think it's that people want to eat less. You know, they say eat smaller meals, and people are trying to control their portions, and people want to taste different things. I mean, one of the things that our friends find annoying about going out with us, and our friends who are restaurant critics, you know, their friends find annoying about going out with them, is the sort of what we call the lazy Susan table. You know, there are times I don't want to share my meal with you, Mark. You know, it's like, you got to have some of mine. And you got four people, and I get a quarter of four different appetizers, and it's emotionally a little
draining.
Oh,
come on. That's the most fun way to eat.
Sometimes it is.
That's the most fun way to eat. What's wrong with you?
But sometimes I just want my own food.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole Irish thing. The Italians, we want to share all our food with everyone we know.
You know, it's funny. When we first started hanging out, your fork would be on my plate. I'm like, what are you doing? You're not my girlfriend. Get your fork off my plate.
And now I can't get your fork out of my plate. So.
Well, but the idea of going for these places...
Comes around, goes around.
But the idea is of going to these places that when they offer small portions, like Nicholas is going to at Restaurant Nicholas, like we do upstairs, like at Catherine Lombardi, like even a place like the Frog, Ryland Inn even opened a bar.
That's right.
Which is another great restaurant in Jersey. The idea, though, is that you can go, and I can order four different small plates of food and have four different tastes of things. And that's also in line with the tasting menu, which is another trend, by the way, that New Jersey's always a couple of years behind what's the hottest thing in the major cities. But people are moving more and more to tasting menus in the serious restaurants.
And I also think you're seeing New Jersey and a lot of the other suburbs and other places around the country catching up to New York City a little bit, where you know, maybe 10 years ago we were 2 years behind, maybe we're a year and a half or a year behind. So you've seen some ground game.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think that's the case. But the tasting menu, just so everybody knows what we're talking about in the audience, is when you go into a restaurant and they say it's the 5-course menu, often with choices in each course. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll offer a menu with no choices in each course, where you basically let the chef cook, let them go. And the idea of, you know, of going out and having a 9-course meal is not to go out and eat 6 pounds of food. When you have a 9-course meal, each of the courses is smaller. A 9-course meal should be a little more or about the same amount of food as a 4-course meal. Mm-hmm. But it just lets you experience more things and make food more a part of the evening. I love dining like that.
Francis,
love it. Yeah.
There are still 18 things on the top 20 list. We spent all day in the other show talking about the number one.
And now we did number
and
two.
And now we've spent all of our time here talking about
number
two.
We'll spend the whole year going through that. And so here's our recommendation as the restaurant guys. If you're in a restaurant and you think it might be a great experience or you trust them, go in one day and say, listen, let the chef cook for me. Can he make me 5 or 6 courses of dinner and see what he sends out, tell him what you're allergic to?
Just one quick clue there.
Yeah.
Give him a little heads up that you want to do that before you come into the restaurant.
Most rewarding way to eat. Mm-hmm. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll talk to you in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today, again, is Rosie Saferstein, the longtime online food columnist for New Jersey Monthly magazine. You may not know her column, which you can find out about by poking around newjerseymonthly.com or go directly to our website for the link. Everybody in the know reads Rosie, including and especially food journalists in Jersey. Why? Because whether it's new restaurants, chefs on the move, restaurants changing hand, Rosie gets the scoop. Welcome to the scoopstress of New New Jersey restaurant's Rosie Saferstein. Hi, Rosie.
I love it, Scoop.
How you doing, Rosie?
I want to see that on your business cards.
We dubbed that to you. We gave you that moniker the last time you were on the show.
I'm gonna have to trademark that.
It's sticking. It's not going anywhere. How are you today, Rosie?
Great. I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're really great. Good. And the first thing that we need to talk about is that we owe you a debt of gratitude for introducing us to Blake Spaulding and Jen Castle, who were on our show as a result of your suggestion to us to read their book and read about their restaurant. And we've invited them, and they're due to host a dinner at one of our restaurants, Stage Left, in just a couple of weeks. That's the end of January. If you're podcasting, it's January 22nd, 2006. Hard for me to realize that it's 2006. Why don't you tell everybody about Blake and Jen? Because you hooked us up with them.
I know, and I cannot wait to see them again. We went to their restaurant. Now, when you talk about destination restaurants, we were in Utah.
Boulder, Utah is a destination, no doubt about it.
Not Boulder, Colorado. Boulder, Utah.
Population 180, middle of nowhere.
Well, when I was there, it was 100. I was there in May, so I we've got two different statistics. But anyway, just getting there is such an event because we had to drive over a 9,000-foot pass in May, and we had a snowstorm with whiteouts.
Wow.
And we were at the top of the mountain, and we had to just stop the car. We couldn't go forward or backward, just hope nobody would go into us. And we come down the mountain pass into the most beautiful town with the sun shining, gorgeous day, Boulder. And this is a town that was getting their mail by mule until 1941 because it's so treacherous, the mountains there.
By mule.
Can you imagine?
I just wanted to reiterate that for everyone.
What were you doing there, Rosie?
Hiking. We love to hike, and we were traveling. We went to Bryce and Zion, and I heard about this restaurant, and I said, we must go to this restaurant. You know, we always seek out unusual restaurants. And in the middle of this Mormon town, you see the Buddhist flags around this Buddhist restaurant that specializes in organic regional cuisine.
But not vegetarian.
No, not vegetarian. No.
Right.
No, healthy, organic, regional cuisine. You know, she uses the grass-fed cows.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She has a very big garden that she, you know, grows a lot of her vegetables. And we were there two nights for breakfast and for dinner. And we did some hiking in the area. And, you know, if you don't like snakes, you don't want to hike there.
Right.
But it is so beautiful. And to get out of the town, we went out the other way.
Rosie, can I interrupt you just for 1 second? Who really likes snakes? there are a lot of people out there who really like, hey, snakes, cool.
Well, you know, there's something about hiking in a deserty area,
uh-huh.
and the snake is comes out of the rock and just crawls right in front of the trail. You know that? But it is the most beautiful, beautiful area. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid hid out there.
Oh, really?
That's the area. So there's a lot of, places that just keep going and going and going. Tall rocks and slot canyons, beautiful area, and they have lovely food. And I have to tell you, I think their cookbook, With a Measure of Grace, is one of the most beautiful cookbooks.
It's so well done, and I think that's a great word for it.
And
beautiful.
And it's more than just a cookbook. It's a story of a restaurant and a restaurant and community
and a lifestyle.
Local food.
And a lifestyle. And what you really see in the book, I think, is their lifestyle.
Well, they're coming, Blake, the owners of this restaurant, and also, the Hell's Backbone Grill, and the authors of the book, A Measure of Grace, about the restaurant, are going to come to Stage Left Restaurant on January 22nd, 2005, for a wine dinner and book signing. And if
2006.
You want, 2006. Sorry, I'm in the wrong year. You can find out about that by going to stageleft.com and looking in the events section, or going to our website. And you can, if you want to come, you can, and you can meet Rosie Saferstein, who's going to be there, as well as Blake and Jen.
So yes, and they are lovely, lovely people. And like I said, I cannot wait to see them again. The food we had there was wonderful. The breakfast was the creamy oatmeal with the stewed fruit. And, the organic granola with yogurt. And they made a bread, an oatmeal molasses bread.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you wouldn't even want to put butter or jam on it because it was so delicious.
Yeah, so much of this stuff is so wonderful and so, in a way, simple, but it very cleanly made. I'll tell you how we're going to start. One thing that you'll find interesting is they have in their book rosemary lemonade,
mm-hmm.
which is just beautiful. And we're just putting a little Jersey twist on that. We're making rosemary margaritas. That's
how
we're going to start. Yeah.
It's yeah, nice. it's rosemary lemonade with tequila in it.
Oh. Yeah.
Is what,
well, that's Southwest.
You know? It sounds very West.
I got my hands on that, you know.
Sounds very West. But if anyone is ever out in Utah, it's certainly worth going there. Like I said, we were there two nights. And just leaving the town is interesting because you have to go over an area called the Hogback. And it's called the Hogback because it's a sliver of road on the spine of a mountain with drops on both sides. And there's no fences out there. There's nothing to, you know, stop you from just, you know, going
driving
off
over.
The edge.
Whenever I'm out in places like that, I always feel like everybody around me is driving too fast.
Right.
Because they're used to it. But it's a white-knuckle ride. Well worth it. The scenery is magnificent.
I think we should go out there and start a guardrail company.
Right. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. And like I said, the dinner that you will be having will be exceptional.
Well, we intend to make it out there. I have a motorcycle that I ride, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to get the time to go across country. And if I do, if I'm able, which I may be able to this summer, I'm going to stop by.
If you're getting a month and a half off so you could ride back and forth across the country on a motorcycle, you are smoking something that grows in Boulder, Utah.
No, nothing. The Mormons are there.
We're going to have to.
Rosie? There's nothing smoking
Rosie,
there.
I need to interrupt you because we have to have a commercial, and Mark
okay.
and I have to have a fight in the commercial break.
Okay.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to restaurantguysradio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Rosie Saferstein. She is the in-the-know online columnist for NewJerseyMonthly.com, and you can become a little more in the know yourself by looking her up and finding out about restaurant openings and closings and chefs on the move and what's happening. That before it hits the mainstream press, it hits Rosie's column if it's happening in the Garden State and has anything to do with food. You know, Rosie, we talked briefly at the break while the commercial was playing about the New Jersey Monthly Reader's Choice Poll,
yes.
Which is an annual poll that your magazine does. It's coming up again.
Yes, it's coming up in the February issue of New Jersey Monthly Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the favorite sections in the year. People really enjoy this, and they can also vote for their favorite restaurant online or to get the, you know, in the book, there's, you know, the form
the
to fill
magazine.
Out. To fill it out.
Well, you can do it online, too.
You can do it online. Now, it won't be online until probably the end of January, the beginning of February, mm-hmm. but I list this on Table Hopping, and I'll put it on eGullet, and I send out an email about it. So I would like your listeners to all vote for their favorite restaurants. And, you know, there's a lot of different categories that people can vote. And I went to look. I have to tell you about last year.
Uh-huh.
I went to look to see who won last year. What was going on? You guys rock.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, not only last year, 2004 and 2005, between the two of them, you won in 11 categories.
Yeah.
We had a good couple of years.
Well, congratulations.
We like that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That is nice.
We love the poll, and, you know, it's an interesting chance for consumers, and, you know, New Jersey Monthly has a great demographic of people that are really some of the most sophisticated diners in the state, and it's an opportunity for them to not just say best or worst, because there's the best of, which is great, but you
but
also
all
get to say,
categories.
This is the best pizza in New
right.
Jersey.
Best
Here's
Chinese,
the best Chinese.
The best seafood. I think it's great.
And it's separated by North Central and South Jersey.
Right.
And it's also, it's a great resource. And I know a lot of people, when the results of that poll come out, they keep that issue with a magazine or they print those results out online and they keep them for the rest of the year. It's a great guide.
Well, you have to remember also, it's a reader's choice. So it all depends on how many people vote.
Yeah.
But that's why we encourage as many people as possible to vote, tell your friends to vote, because it's only as good as the number of people that are voting.
Right, like Zagat's, and sometimes you'll go to a place where Zagat's is not as valuable because not enough people have voted.
Well, if you can find out about this. It's not available for you to vote online yet at NewJerseyMonthly.com or NJMonthly.com, but if you go to our site, we'll link you to Rosie, and as soon as the New Jersey Monthly Reader's Choice poll is available online, we'll link you to that as well from the Restaurant Guys radio site, RestaurantGuysRadio.com. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. Our guest is Rosie Saferstein, the online food columnist for New Jersey Monthly Magazine. We'll be back in just a moment. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through RestaurantGuysRadio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Our guest today is Rosie Saferstein. She is we've dubbed her the Scoopstress of New Jersey. She knows everything about New Jersey restaurants before anybody else does, and you can find out about them by reading her online column at NJMonthly.com. You got to poke around a little bit on the New Jersey Monthly site to find Rosie sometimes, but you can always link directly to her from our site at RestaurantGuysRadio.com. And we're here talking about food and stuff in New Jersey. We want to mention again that on January 22nd, 2006, there'll be a wine dinner at the restaurant with Jennifer Castle and Blake Spaulding. Have written an amazing book, which you can learn about on our website. They've been on our show, and Rosie introduced them to us. So if you want to meet Jen and Blake and Rosie, you can come to the dinner. They'll be there. Okay, so let's talk about Jersey.
Okay.
And restaurants in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the trends that you spot? What's going on with Jersey cuisine on the high end? Because Mark and I have some of our own ideas about where things are going and how things have changed, especially in the last 5 years. What are you seeing?
We do. You and I have an opinion on stuff.
Exactly.
Well,
I can't believe it.
What I see is also something that you have done. I see some of the high-end restaurants are also opening tavern or more casual type of dining.
Yes.
So just as what you have done with Catherine Lombardi, where you have the, you know, Italian restaurant upstairs and your fine dining downstairs, Stage House Inn now has the tavern at Stage House.
Yep.
Now, when I was at the tavern at Stage House, I have to tell you the place was packed and maybe there were two tops.
Yep.
In the fine dining area.
Funny. I actually spoke with Tom just the day before yesterday, and he was commenting how Tom Britt is one of the owners of Stage House Inn, and what he said was that on certain nights he'll do 250 in the
tavern,
and 40 in the main
fine dining restaurant,
fine dining premium restaurant, which got him all his acclaim.
Right, and now I'll give you another scoop. Larison's Turkey Farm has been bought.
Oh, really? Who bought it, Rose?
Oh, well, I don't know if that's public knowledge.
Or what's it going to become?
Excuse me?
What's it going to become?
It's going to become an upscale dining establishment with a lower price tavern.
Wow.
Nice.
So that same type of setup.
Larison's Turkey Farm, just for those of you outside the area, is an antique of a restaurant. It was an actual turkey farm where you'd go and, like, buses full of senior citizens would come up and eat this.
Excuse me, I went there. I haven't been there maybe about 25 years. I used to go and I used to get the turkey carcass for $2 and make soup.
Rosie, when you went there 25 years ago, did you realize that the mean age of the diner was 80? Well, they're 105 now, and that's why I had to close.
Well,
his first restaurant to close because his clientele died.
Okay.
First restaurant to do 50 dinners on an average night and 2,500 on Thanksgiving.
Right. And people would wait 4 or 5 hours on the lawn.
Oh,
they would wait.
Gosh.
But I imagine
I had a meal there one afternoon. It lasted about 3 days.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Woo!
I imagine it'll take time for them to convert the place over. I mean, it needs a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another scoop I can give you,
to us.
But I don't think they're doing casual also, is the Stockton Inn is going to be reopening.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's cool.
The Stockton Inn is right on the water there and a really, really pretty place.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of history.
With a lot of history, a lot of Jersey history, too.
Yeah.
So it's always nice when those kind of little inny places and cottagey places on the water do well.
We had Andrea Strong from the Strong Buzz, which is like a hot in the know newspaper for New York City restaurants,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you know her, the Strong Buzz? Strongbuzz.com. She's you in New York.
She's you in New York.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
But I'm often struck by when we were talking to her on the show, I thought, you know, here is a woman who's really in the know about New York City restaurants. But the whole area that she covers, and she covers, you know, probably more restaurants than any city in America, and more cool and interesting restaurants than any city in America. But everything is a cab ride away. Nothing mm-hmm. further than a cab ride away. You cover an entire state, small state as it is. New Jersey has the third yeah. highest gross number of white linen tablecloth restaurants in the country right. in our little state.
Right.
How do you keep track of all this
yeah,
stuff?
From Cape May to High Point over there.
Oh, I have a lot of... I've been doing this for so many years that I've built up a list of a lot of contacts and a lot of people that you know, feed me the information. I read a lot. I make phone calls. I work hard.
I know. let me give people an example out there of the kind of stuff that you do. Now, and it's very interesting to see this done because New Jersey often gets the short shrift. I often say if you put New Jersey where Nebraska is, it would be seen as like the dining destination in the country. You wouldn't ever fly over it without stopping to get something to eat there. But since we're between New York and Philadelphia, we get the weak sister treatment when it's undeserved. But one of the things that New York and L.A. are served by is food arts. They do an openings and a closing section.
Mm-hmm.
You do an openings and a closing section, all the restaurants that have opened of note and all the restaurants that are closed of note, every month in your
every
column.
Week.
In New Jersey Monthly, every week. Now, I know when a restaurant opens, the owners send out press releases and so forth. When a restaurant closes, how do you find out about that?
It usually closes like this.
Shh.
Don't tell Rosie.
Exactly.
Back again, it's contacts, it's meeting people, you know, through the years, phone calls, you know, I watch the bulletin boards online
mm-hmm.
because somebody will say, gee, I drove by such and such a restaurant.
I was just about to ask if you're just driving through town saying,
right?
looking for boarded up old buildings.
So. Oh, yeah, sure, but the price of gas.
I have to say I look at that column a lot, and that's actually very useful. And I know that people use the food. I use the food arts one as well. It's interesting in a number of ways. When I see restaurants that are open there, and I think, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, look who's here! Mm-hmm. Look who's opened in town.
Or the chef, right?
And when a place closes, sometimes I'm like, oh, wait, that guy had a really good sous chef. Let's go find him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really very interesting. Or if you want to buy equipment, or you're looking to buy mm-hmm. a restaurant, or you're
right.
looking for a property.
Right.
So a lot of people look at that. But we do a lot of consulting, Rosie, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and while some of our consulting is to take a good restaurant and make it better, most of our consulting is a person who's looking to buy, open, or get into the restaurant
business. Most of our consulting is, don't do this.
That's exactly mm-hmm.
Do something else. Well, go back to Wall Street. Get out of the kitchen.
Right. They don't know what they're getting into.
Or it's a restaurant that's in trouble. But to the new people, our advice is always, you know, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a very interesting thing is to look at your column and look at every week or every month how many restaurants in the state close. I mean, every month.
Mm.
You have a list of restaurants
sometimes
that are closed.
Sometimes, you know, very few, like 4 or 5, 6 months after they open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was really struck by a restaurant in West Orange, where I know you're from, and I have a lot of connections to West Orange
Wish?
As well. There was a restaurant called Wish. I don't know anything about Wish, except
okay.
that I saw it for the first time in the closing list,
right.
and it just about broke my heart. A restaurant called Wish. It was the Wish that didn't come true.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that all about? What's
well,
Wish?
Well, you know, with restaurants, you know, you go in with the best intentions, and something just doesn't click, you know, whether it's the service or the food.
Was it a fine dining restaurant?
No, it wasn't. But his prices, in my opinion, were too high for what the people wanted to pay during
mm-hmm.
the week.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want to go out on a Tuesday night. You know, they don't want to cook dinner, and they didn't want to go out on a Tuesday night and spend, say,
$80. Yeah.
And it was a BYO restaurant,
mm-hmm.
but there were so many things that can go wrong.
Yeah, I know.
You open a restaurant, you know, the service staff leaves, the chef gets sick, something happens.
Well, you also, there are also the behind-the-scenes thing, like the maitre d' is taking steaks out the back door.
Yeah. Right.
Or a purveyor is paying somebody off to use them instead of somebody else at higher cost. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong.
It's such a difficult business under the best circumstances.
Yeah.
And statistically, what is it, like 80% go out of business the first year, and of those that make it through the first year, 50% are out of business in 5 years?
You know, it's funny, I'm sure you must experience the same thing as a food professional. Sometimes you walk into a restaurant that's just open and the people are all happy, and Mark and I look at each other like, oh, no.
Don't be too happy.
And you think, dead man walking.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So
just,
do you ever get that feeling, and how often are you right?
Oh, You know, I always hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah, us
that's
too.
The problem.
Of course, you always hope you're wrong.
You always hope you're wrong, but you can tell. For example, restaurants that open too soon, if they have a soft opening and you go in and they're not ready to open, yeah, and the service is off and the kitchen isn't up to snuff and the wait staff hasn't been trained properly, and meanwhile you're paying full price,
yep,
for that dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know if you tell your clients this, but I always say to people, if you're having a soft opening, offer a 25% discount,
yeah,
the first,
yeah,
month.
I think it's a great idea.
People are forgiving then. They know that they're there for you to practice on.
For the ramp up. Hey, listen, our guest is Rosie Saferstein. She's the online food columnist for New Jersey Monthly Magazine and the Scoopstress of restaurant news in New Jersey. We'll be talking more with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we're talking with Rosie Saferstein, the most in-the-know food journalist in Jersey. She works for NewJerseyMonthly.com, which is a New Jersey Monthly magazine. Their Reader's Choice poll is coming up, but she is the online columnist, and her newsletter is pretty awesome. Rosie, let's talk again about, you know, I think it's interesting. The national food press really focuses on a few restaurants outside of major cities and then the restaurants in major cities. You cover a beat that is New Jersey, which has its own dining scene, strong ethnic traditions in dining. We have, for those of you who don't know out there in listener land, check this out. New Jersey has the highest number of table service restaurants per capita in the nation. Now, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
But it also has the third highest gross number of table service restaurants in the nation. So
even though it's one of the smallest states.
So we're, yeah, a tiny little seat. New York and California have more table service restaurants than we do, and then it's New Jersey, home,
yeah,
of the Sopranos.
Well,
so what's it like covering New Jersey? What do you see in Jersey cuisine?
I love New Jersey, and I always tell people when they say to me, well, we don't find good restaurants in New Jersey, and then I start naming all the wonderful restaurants in New Jersey. You know, I mean, of course, Stage Left and Ryland Inn and restaurant David Drake recently opened.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, there were four restaurants in New Jersey that got an excellent either from the New York Times or the Star Ledger, which speaks a lot because getting an excellent is very hard.
Yep. Yes.
And we also had in 2004 and 2005, 18 New Jersey restaurants that went to the Beard House. Now, the Beard House is a pinnacle for,
mm-hmm,
a chef.
That, mm-hmm,
is, that is what they hope to achieve. So I say to them, why would you go to New York? We've got wonderful restaurants. Now you have the tunnel traffic. If,
mm-hmm,
you want to go to New York, the Holland Tunnel is being redone, the entrance to it,
mm-hmm,
so it's going to be worse. So you have the traffic to get in there. You have the parking to deal with. If you're going in Midtown, it's $50 to park for your car.
Well, I think that one of the interesting things is that in the last 10 years, and certainly even more so in the last 5 years, that in New Jersey there really are great restaurants worth traveling to that, you know, I used to say, I mean, honestly, Rosie, I think that 15 years ago, if you took the number 4, 5, 6, and 7 restaurants in Jersey and you plop them down in the middle of New York, they'd go out of business because they weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But
not
I think
so
that,
anymore.
But I think that today, if you took the top 10 restaurants in Jersey that are the best by whatever standard you're going to choose, and you put them in the middle of Manhattan, they would be acclaimed restaurants.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I think the quality of the food and the service, the produce that we bring in, the chefs are using all these fresh produce. They're,
mm-hmm,
using a lot of the organic meat. Everything is going spiraling up as far as the quality of restaurants.
Well, I think the bar keeps getting raised, and happily. I'm seeing New Jersey restaurant owners kind of pick up the gauntlet and
run with it.
And,
yeah,
run with it, exactly.
Well, and new people coming in. I tell you, I really I think we've always tried to operate in the top.
Does that mean they're running the gauntlet?
But I think that we've always tried to operate in the top 10. But I got to give credit to one guy who really actually made us look over our shoulder and,
mm-hmm,
say, you know what, we better be on top of our game. Who's a friend of ours, but Nicholas Harari.
Yes.
When he opened Restaurant Nicholas, I think that a lot of people said, oh, you know what, we had better be on top of our game.
We can't be sitting on our on our laurels anymore.
And I think he blazed some new trails, and you know, he deserves credit for that. I think he made us better.
But
he's he's a lovely man and runs a top-notch restaurant.
Top-notch. So, but we have a saying in our restaurant. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
There's
right.
no such thing as staying the same, and certainly not in the New Jersey restaurant landscape right now.
What do you think now? No smoking.
Yeah, I think that's it. But before we get to that, because I do want to deal with that, which is interesting, makes another level playing field with mm-hmm. New York in a way. But one of the interesting things about New Jersey is what New York will always have to offer is if you go out to dinner in New York, you're in the middle of New York, and there are five other restaurants that you could walk to, and there's a play you could go see, and there's all kinds of other stuff on the street. But
I disagree.
Well, I don't know, Rosie.
You have that in New Jersey.
Yeah, but the Paper Mill Playhouse ain't Broadway.
Excuse me. What about New Brunswick?
I mean, New Brunswick is great.
And
what about
Montclair? Montclair has quite a few theaters. Mm. They have the Art Movie House. I mean, what we have in New Jersey now is like restaurant cities.
There are a couple of key spots in New Jersey, I think, that offer a lot for the patrons.
But there's something about being in Gotham that's pretty awesome. But I'll tell you something else. If you're in Gotham, you're not going to get the kind of table real estate that you have in Jersey. I mean, it's funny. When people are accustomed to dining out in Manhattan, come to a fine dining restaurant in New York, they're like, oh, my God, this table's so big. This chair's so huge.
I remember, Francis, first
the other table's so far away.
First time you took me to Blue Ribbon, I was like, okay, where are the rest of you guys sitting?
and
it's a party of six, and I'm sitting there by myself.
Right. I was at Blue Ribbon once. I think it was like 2 in the morning that, you know, I went with a chef.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what an experience.
That's when we go.
Yeah.
I go there a lot.
But we did an article on New Jersey Monthly Magazine about what men want in restaurants.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things they wanted was tables far apart.
Yep.
Yes. Real estate
We want some space.
And that in New Jersey is the key. And when restaurants in New Jersey don't give you enough real estate, and there are a few that put tables too close together.
I mean, even in the beginning days of Stage Left, when we didn't have very much real estate, things were a lot tighter.
Well, we had to cram a lot of people into a small space. But mm-hmm. when you're paying any sort of decent... for any sort of decent fine dining meal. Out here, we can afford, and any good restaurant should give you, enough room on the table for all your stuff, a chair big enough for you to comfortably fit in, and enough space between the tables that you don't hear your neighbor's conversation. And that's a great luxury in Manhattan.
Yes.
Hey, listen, our guest is Rosie Saferstein. She's the online columnist for New Jersey Monthly Magazine. She's also the Scoopstress of New Jersey, and we're going to get her take on the new smoking ban that has passed in New Jersey, making New York and New Jersey equivalent in that regard. In just a moment, you're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. You're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Rosie Saferstein. We've been talking about dining in New Jersey, which has implications for dining everywhere because we are the center of the world here in New Jersey. Don't know if you knew that. Birthplace of Frank Sinatra, Tony Soprano, you know. So, Rosie.
Bon Jovi.
Bruce Springsteen, I prefer to think of. The smoking ban has just passed in New Jersey, and now New York, like New York, there's no smoking anywhere except, of course, for casinos, because we don't care about casino employees.
Because their lobbyist is bigger than our lobbyist. Okay?
So what are your thoughts on the smoking ban in Jersey for restaurants?
Well, I'm very selfish about this. I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a smoker, and I really prefer to go into a restaurant and not have to smell smoke. And even in the restaurants that have the separate sections, if they have an area where they're smoking, the smoke comes over.
Usually does, except for restaurants that like Mark and I spend $50,000 for a separate heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
It's restaurants that have separate rooms.
Rosie?
Separate rooms, not a mm-hmm. glass partition.
No, and you have to have separate HVAC because if you have an air intake in there,
right,
it draws
from one room
to
the other.
So we spend $50,000 to have a separate HVAC. If anyone out there would like to buy an HVAC unit, we have an extra one.
There's a few states out there that still allow smoking. You know, there are some. There's only 7 states that have banned smoking.
Yeah, we're actually, I think, going to be the 11th for some kind of. Some legislation like this.
Right. The only thing I think is I think they should allow separate rooms. Like some guys, mm-hmm. we used to allow, we have a separate room downstairs separately ventilated for cigars where people can go and have cigars
in
the cellar afterwards. It's unfortunate that won't be allowed. But, you know, what is, and, the debate's over, as it were.
You move on.
That's
but I'm personally am happy, and I think for selfish reasons. And I understand where people say that the government shouldn't regulate these things. And I understand about the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
The New Jersey Restaurant Association was against it because they wanted the casinos included.
That's the thing that sticks in my craw. If the casinos are allowed to still smoke, but I'm not.
Right. It doesn't matter. If you're gambling, secondhand smoke isn't bad for you. And if you work in a casino, secondhand smoke isn't bad for you.
It's just that, we didn't have enough money to buy the legislature. Hey, Rosie. Thanks for being on. Oh, and I meant it, by the way. Anybody want to challenge me on that? Hey, Rosie, thanks for being on the show. You're great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rosie. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you at Jen and Blake's dinner.
That's right.
22nd, if you want to meet Rosie Saperstein, come to Stage Left Restaurant and go to our website to find out how. You can also go to our website to find your way to Rosie's site, which is if you want to be in the know on food trends in Jersey, that's where you should go, NewJerseyMonthly.com. Hey, I hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.